How you doing? Really, really good. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to come and speak. Have the privilege to speak with you today. And I'm going to be talking about something called this. A friend of mine actually told me, always think about a really good title before you start, right? It's always good to start with a really good title. And the title of the message today, oh, you can't really see it. There's a T there. The title of the message today is The Close in the Closet. The close in the closet. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be alive today. Lord, we thank you that we could have been anywhere, but you came to give us life. Lord, will you do something new in us today? Will you open our hearts and open our minds that we can see you and hear you? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, you know, one of the things, if you know Yaz and I, one of the things we love to do is host people, right? We love to have people around our house. We love to get people over. We're like relating to people, you know, having meals and just getting to know, encouraging people. We are extroverts. So we kind of, we get that energy when we do stuff like that, right? But you see, the thing is, we got a really young family and typically what happens is there is a frantic dash when people are coming. It's like, oh my gosh, it's 7:30. They're coming in like 15 minutes. And then the kids aren't asleep yet. So you rush them upstairs and you do as much as you can to get them to sleep. But you know, bedtime routine never really goes as planned. Never really goes as planned. And actually, if you've been to our house on one of these occasions, you might have seen Zach kind of creep down the stairs. Can I just say hello? But it's true, we have this kind of frantic thing, and we, for maybe like 15 minutes, we're getting the Hoover out and we're cleaning up, and it's an absolute frenzy. The funny thing about it is that we, it seems to be that there's always just this stuff around, this stuff that just amasses throughout the week. Maybe, I don't know what it is, maybe some letters, or maybe some things that you're trying to deal with. Is it just our house, or does anybody else have that? Anybody else have that? Right, my wife is so funny because she says, I've got this thing called the sides. I hate seeing messy sides. You know what I mean? There's like piles of stuff. I get really antsy. And she's like, you're getting OCD in your old age. It's happening to you. It's happening. So what we do is we find the nearest place where we can stuff this stuff, right? Let's just get this stuff in a cupboard or somewhere and close the door. Let's just get it in there. And then at least people who come in the door think we're some sort of normal people, you know? But we do. We do that stuff. We do that because we want to conceal the chaos in our own homes, right? You see, the closet is the keeper of concealed chaos. The closet is the keeper. And you know what? My slides aren't, they're kind of funny, so I'll keep speaking. The closet is the keeper of concealed chaos. And it's funny, isn't it? Because we do this to protect ourselves, really. We do this to protect ourselves from the image that people would have of us. They want to walk into a house. They want to make sure it feels nice and comfy and cozy. But you're really like, oh my gosh, have you seen their house? Like, oh, it's mad. We do that stuff, don't we? To protect ourselves from the thoughts and the reactions of other people. But actually, maybe we do it because we want to protect us of our own thoughts as well. So I've got some helpers. I've got some helpers today. Could you come up if you're a helper here? Thanks so much. And grab a chair. You see, it's not just for dinner parties that we stuff things in the cupboard or we close cabinet doors. In fact, we can do this with our own hearts, can't we? We can do this. Hold them up, guys. Let them see it. Ah, look at that. You see that? Sometimes this could be the closet. These could be the things that we find in our closet. The things we don't really want other people to see. You can kind of put that down. Yeah, put it down. That's great. That's great. We want to see your lovely faces too. It's great. But there's places in our heart where we tuck away and bury the stuff that we've amassed on the journey of life. pain, shame, anxiety, insecurity, the mucky stuff. You see, we walk through this journey of life, right? And we pick up some stuff. Experiences we have, challenges we go through. You know, we put this stuff and you kind of bank it in the closet. That's a bit of fear. And you know, you walk through life looking at things and maybe things that you've done to someone or maybe things that have been done to you. And you have this ounce of shame that you put in the closet. You put this stuff away, rejection, insecurity. We put these things away and we close the door because we don't want anyone to see what's in that closet. And in fact, we don't really want to go there ourselves. So what do? We close the door and we put on our best face. Hey guys, how you doing? How are you? Doing well? Doing great? God bless you. How's life with you? I'm fine, thank you. Just don't look at that stuff. I'm fine. You know, I had this imagery. It's just really come to me now. You know when you see those things on that first dates, and on the first date, someone literally sits down and they start talking, and then they start offloading everything. That's too much in the closet. Shut the door. You know? We tell ourselves it's okay. We block them out of our minds. We put on a brave face and put our best self forward just to survive, just to get through the day. But just in those moments when we're all alone with our thoughts, that closet door sometimes comes slightly ajar. And those things become really real. And this happened to me this week. This happened to me just this week. Scoot over a bit. Scoot over. Just I want that one. So on Tuesday of last week, Monday of last week, I got an email from my company, which proceeded with a meeting on Tuesday to tell me that I'd lost my job. They were restructuring the company and my services were no longer required. They're doing something new. And you know, for a moment, I opened the door of that closet. For a moment, I saw fear. I took fear and I was reminded of the time when I was 9 years old. And we lost our mortgage and we were homeless and we had to find somewhere to stay. And my mum had £1.41 in her hand and she took us to the nearest hostel where we could find a place to stay for the night. When they told me I lost my job, I looked at my children and I looked at my fear. I looked in my heart and I saw insecurity. I saw what would they say, FA? What would they say when they look at you? Who would you be now? And I sat in the middle. We do this sometimes, don't we, guys? We do this sometimes. And, you know, this is a real experience for a lot of us today. That we sit in the middle. And it gets real close. Come close, guys. You see, the closet is a place of confinement and concealed, but it's close. It gets really real. You smell great, by the way. You smell great. You do. You do. You smell great. You see, why it's so difficult sometimes to open up is because it comes at a cost. Vulnerability holds a value. Vulnerability has a value because every experience comes with an expense. Every experience comes with an expense. For every time someone has disappointed you, the price of your trust goes up. You heard? Yeah? For every time you stepped out or made a mistake or been the victim of someone else's pain, the way they made you feel, how they stripped you of your dignity or attacked your identity, the price of your shame goes up. See, that's why we don't want to take that test or book that appointment or go on that or go with that coffee date with that guy. Because it's too much. The pain of disappointment is too great. The pain of what's in the closet is too great. But I have news for you, friends. But then Jesus. I love that. But then Jesus. You see, he wants to get close. He wants to be the close, not yet. He wants to be the close in the closet. You see, he wants to kick this stuff out and replace your chaos with closeness with him. He wants to get into the middle of your mess so that he can turn it into a message. You see, he wants to be the close in the closet. Come up, Jesus. Come up. Come up. Come up. You got to keep knocking. Just knock at the door. Knock at the door of the heart. You see, the thing is, in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me." I'll read that again, because this is really powerful. Let's get hold of this. "Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open and my voice, and you hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me." You see, Jesus doesn't want you to keep the closet closed. He's actively pursuing you. He's actively inviting you to open up and to get close. And we have to respond to his invitation of intimacy. You know, we said that vulnerability has a value. Well, intimacy is the currency of that vulnerability. You see, the more time we become intimate with someone, the more vulnerable we're able to get with them, right? The more we know someone, the closer we get to them, the more we can open up. So if you respond and continually respond to Jesus knocking at the door of your heart, and if you believe that Jesus is worth the value of your vulnerability, why don't we open the door and let him in? Let's let him in. Let's let him in. You see, he'll come into your heart and he wants to make your home here. So I gotta sit down here, Jesus. I gotta sit down here. You see, but I can't. Do you wanna come in, Jesus? Where you gonna you sit you gonna sit down? Hold on a minute. This doesn't really work, does it? I mean, there's only so much space in this closet. And, you know, you are incredible, Jesus. But I think we need to make some space. Because when Jesus steps into the closet of your home, this stuff doesn't have to be there anymore. It doesn't have to be there anymore. So come on, Jesus, you take a seat. And in Jesus' name, security, get out. Insecurity, get out. Rejection, you can take your bags and go. Fear, you can get out too. And shame, you can go. You can get out. And I'm in a wide and open and spacious place in my heart because I've found Jesus. It doesn't have to be that way. See, Jesus wants to be the close in your closet. He wants to be closer than anything you go through, anything you walk through. But we have to open and let him in. We have to pay that price of vulnerability through faith. And allow him to step into our hearts. I've lost my notes now, but I love just hanging with Jesus over there. It's great stuff. You can if you like. Do you want to go? You can. Thank you, Jesus. Just don't leave my heart. Thank you, guys. You see, intimacy is the currency of our vulnerability. And when you open, when Jesus asks you to open up your heart and relate to him, what he's actually asking you for is into me see. Intimacy with Jesus is you saying, "Jesus, into me. You can see. I don't want to conceal this stuff. I want you to have it all. I want you to see everything, have everything, be everything." That's what intimacy with Jesus looks like. Open up your heart and say, into me. See? But see, you can't get close or you can't get intimate with someone until you get close, right? I've got 3 kids. You can't get intimate without getting close. You can't. So proximity is key. Proximity is key. You've got to get close to have intimacy. So, because when you get close, then you're able to see things in a different way. You're able to see things the way Jesus sees things. Because our proximity impacts our perspective. Now, this is beautifully illustrated in a fantastic story we find in Luke 7, 36 to 50. And I love one of these, you know, it's kind of like one of the iconic scenes in a movie. You know, when you think of Titanic, you think of kind of like Jack or someone, I can't remember the dude's name, and he's, "Don't let go, Jack." You can see that imagery, right? And this is one of those stories in the Bible that does that. Luke 7, 36, 50. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Afterward, a religious leader named Simon asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simon's home, he took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard about Jesus being in Simon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and knelt at the feet of Jesus in front of all the guests. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume as an act of worship. When Simon saw what was happening, he thought, "This man can't be a true prophet. If he really were a prophet, he would know what kind of a sinful woman is touching him." And Jesus said, "Simon, I have a word for you." "Go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it," he answered. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000 and the other owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them were able to repay the debt, the banker generously, graciously wrote off the debt and forgave them all that they owed. "Tell me, Simon, which of these two debtors would be the most thankful? Which one would love the banker the most?" Simon answered, "I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt." "You're right," Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simon about the woman that was weeping at his feet. "Don't you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you didn't bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with a customary kiss of greeting. But from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven all of her many sins. This is why she has shown such extravagant love. But to those who assume they have very little to be given will love me very little." Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, "Your sins are forgiven." All the dinner guests said among them, "Who is the one who can even forgive sins?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace." See, this story is a story about is a contrast of proximity and perspective. On one hand, you have an unnamed sinful woman who saw Jesus for who he really was, the Son of God, and who displays an intimate act of worship. And she gets so close that she even touches him, and we'll get to that. And Simon, the named Pharisee, who has the full right of access to Jesus, but fails to see him for who he is, to the point where he doesn't even offer him a customary welcome at his home. You see, I love this scene in the Bible. I love this story because this woman opens the closet of her heart for all of history and all of eternity to witness. She would have heard Jesus' teaching about him embracing the sinner, embracing the tax collector, embracing the outcast or the lowly or the one they call other. And maybe he could even accept me too. Maybe there's something, salvation is available for me in him. Maybe who she was or who she thought she was meant that her vulnerability was of lesser value. What did she have to lose? She was a prostitute in that time. What did she have to lose? An outcast. That's why I love that the writer tells us that she brought the most expensive thing she had. The alabaster jar of perfume. You see, in those days, that would have been about a year's wage. And there she was, in front of all of those guests. And she pours it out on Jesus' feet. Everything she had. And I wonder whether as she poured it out in the natural, she was opening up the closet of her heart in the spirit. Maybe for every ounce that she poured out, every ounce of shame, every ounce of hurt, every fear, insecurity, and rejection, she poured out before Jesus. It was a physical picture of a divine exchange. He invited her with a call to intimacy with God through him, and she spared no expense. And she responded, "Into me, you can see." You see, in those days, as you've seen some of the pictures, they cover their hair. Women had to have their hair covered and wore long robes. And the act of unveiling her hair in public was scandalous. You see, that was a divorceable offense with no divorce settlement required. So if a woman was to uncover her hair in the public, she was married, he could divorce her, no qualms. So what she was doing was something incredible. In Middle East society, on the bridal night, when you get married, the husband would see the hair for the first time. It would be an act of complete intimacy. And what she was actually trying to say was that I'm entering into a covenant with you, Jesus. You can have everything. There is nothing off the cards. There's nothing off the table. Everything is here. Everything I have, every inch of me, I give to you. See, she made a public declaration, an ultimate pledge of loyalty to Jesus. Incredible, eh? Incredible stuff. See, Simon, the Pharisee, on the other hand, was far from close to understanding who Jesus was. In fact, he'd set up the dinner to kind of get it nailed in his mind. You know, he was kind of settled the score. Who is this guy? Although close to Jesus in proximity around a table, he was far away from him in his heart. So he had a skewed perspective of who Jesus was. That's why he said, if this man, distance of relationship, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. You see, the thing that was in Simon's closet was the cynicism in his heart. It was cynicism. In that time, it was customary when a rabbi came to your house, it was kind of a ceremony. You know, you really kind of made it up. He's kind of like, you know, we would set the house up, put the things in the closets, make sure everything looks great. But for just the average Joe coming to your house, they would always have a way to kind of wash your feet and oil your hands. That was just a custom for anyone who came in. It was just like saying, hey, how you doing? Give him the kiss. That kind of gesture. It was a basic thing. But Simon, he didn't offer Jesus any of that. He didn't even offer him water for his feet or oil for his hands. And I think Jesus' response to the woman's act was a nail in the coffin for Simon. A rabbi, a teacher, being touched by such a woman is shocking. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's a disgrace. Jesus, you're going to have to do something about this. Sling her out. She doesn't belong here. Sling her out. Touching in public? And you call yourself a rabbi? I love this because Jesus paraphrases the story. He says this kind of thing in the middle, and he just says basically, Simon, you may think you're better than this woman because maybe you go to church, say a couple of hallelujahs. But the fact is, neither of you can pay the price that comes for salvation. That only comes from me. Church, may I just say, may we never get too professional in our Christianity that we forget to recognize Jesus at our table. May we never get too familiar that we reject or we neglect to give Jesus the welcome and the worship that he deserves. May we never get too holy to touch who Jesus came to save. So again, you know, Jesus, as you read the story, I haven't got too much time to go into it now, but he says, you know, you did this, she did this, you did that. She did this, you did that. To say, she's got it. She saw me, Simon, and you haven't. You see, their proximity in their hearts was too great a distance for them to have the right perspective of who Jesus was. And then I love this. He says, can you imagine? And then Jesus just goes all gangster and like, I forgive your sins. Just to push the boat out. He's just like, I'll forgive all your sins as well. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's been touched by a woman and he's forgiven sins. And Jesus is like, just because I can. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. I love that. It's just so cool. Jesus is like, okay, mic drop. Your sins are forgiven. I love it. It's good stuff. It's great stuff for us, friends. It's good stuff. You see, what I love about Jesus, he just doesn't want a false relationship. He wants intimacy with us. He's not the type of God that says, hey, you come 90, I come 10. No, he wants intimacy, real relationship. Real relationship with you today. And you know, it's not only the fact that he was able to say that to her because she got so close that she was able to see who she was, but also to see who he really was. See, that's the divine exchange, friends. We get to see who we truly are in him, but we get to truly see the face of God in Jesus. How amazing. How amazing is that? Your proximity will impact your perspective. She was an uninvited guest at a dinner party, an outsider, a nobody, a sinner, undervalued by her position in society, yet she saw something around that table that no one else could see. They saw a teacher, a rogue rabbi, the breaker of the law, and she saw the Lamb and the forgiver of her sins. They saw nothing that was worthy of any honor, but she saw the one they rejected to be the one worthy of it all. She saw something in him because she got closer than anybody else would. She could only see that because of her proximity. Our proximity impacts our perspective. So, in closing, Jesus wants to be the close in your closet. He wants to come real close. He wants to take that chaos and replace it with closeness with him. He wants you so close. And if you could just pay the currency of your vulnerability with intimacy with him through faith, if you just say, Jesus, do you know what? I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust you to open the door. And I'm going to just trust you. He won't let us down, friends. You know, sometimes we read that verse in Revelation 3 about knocking on the door of our heart, and we kind of use that for non-believers. Like, this is the first time. And that, I agree with that too. But you see, even as we walk this journey with Jesus, sometimes we just keep creating those closet doors, don't we? We can keep creating those doors. We can keep putting them up as we go through life experiences. But what we do have, or what we can do, is let him in and let him close. Amen. Amen. So I just want to give some time for us to think about that this today. Yeah, I want to give you guys an opportunity, or leave some space for people to respond. If you're here this morning and something's been resonating with you, and you want to invite Jesus into the middle of your mess, if you want him to be closer than the chaos in your closet, we're going to have a ministry team up here. Maybe we can invite them now, actually. Can the ministry team come to the front, please? If you're coming for prayer, it'd be great. Maybe Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And maybe you're feeling you want to open it up to him just for the first time. He loves you and he wants to set you free of all of that stuff. He wants to build a personal relationship with you. He's here for you and he loves you. And he wants to be close, really, really close. But maybe you're a bit like Simon today. Maybe you've walked this journey of life and your proximity has impacted your vision of who Jesus is. And you've drifted away from him in your heart. Or maybe there's a door that you're like, you can have this part, Jesus, but you can't have that bit. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's a door that you're just not ready to give Jesus today. And he's knocking and he's saying, let me in. Let me in. So we're going to open it up for you guys to respond. And we're just going to pray. God, yeah. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your power here. Thank you. You want to hold us close. And I just want to call that out to you guys again. If that's anyone in this room, please feel free to come to the front and get prayer. People want to pray with you. Jesus is knocking at the door of the closet in your heart. Don't leave this place today the same. He can replace that chaos and replace that with closeness. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. Amen.